Southeastern Baptist Seminary Chapel Service, September 23, 1987. Speaker, Dr. Roy E. DeBrand, Professor of Preaching.
You are invited to worship our Lord God Almighty. Let us listen to his word from Matthew 11, verses 28 and following. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
It's that time when we come together to remember those in our community who need our prayers and our concerns. We want to continue to remember Chuck, Pam, and Becky Nelson. Chuck is home from the hospital. He had to go in with some internal bleeding last week. And I talked with Chuck yesterday, and he says, I'm not doing well. So he really covets our prayers. Chris Schofield lost his grandfather suddenly last Friday in Bessemer City. Jim Heron, one of our trustees from South Carolina, underwent surgery last week for the removal of a cyst near his kidney, and we had not heard as of the weekend how that report turned out, but we do want to remember him in our prayers. David Ford was a 1976 graduate of this school, and he died last Friday. We want to remember his wife, Nona, and their family and friends. The funeral was in the First Baptist Church of Marion on Sunday. And we also want to continue to remember our brother and sister, Ben and Joe Philbeck. Let's pray together. Gracious and understanding God, hear the prayers of we, your children. Pain, sickness, and death are human entities that are difficult to bear and almost impossible to understand. In our confusion and oftentimes despair, we only know to lift up to you our sisters and brothers and ask that you love them and make your love and presence known in unforgettable ways. And beyond our intimate circles, please bestow upon the leaders of our world and every inhabitant therein, from the Persian Gulf to Wake Forest to Southeastern Seminary, the burning desire for peace and the wisdom and the courage to pursue it. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The chapel committee has given me the privilege of introducing our worship leader. Dr. Roy DeBrand is known, I expect, to all of you, having been here since the beginning of school. This, however, is the first time he will be leading our worship, and I wanted to say just this word. He comes to us from 4 years of teaching in North American Baptist Seminary. Prior to that, several years of experience in Southern Baptist churches, a graduate of Southwestern Seminary with his doctoral degree from that institution. It's a real joy to have him on the faculty here on campus and to lead our worship this morning after the anthem.
Travel with me in that marvelous time capsule we call imagination. Back through history to the time when Moses sat atop Mount Nebo. Picture, if you can, the aged patriarch on that parched peak, the dust of the plains of Moab clogging his sinuses, the dry desert wind stinging his eyes, as he carried the sand aloft, the blaring sun beating unrelentlessly on his whited head. Moses was old and near death. The wilderness wanderings were over, and the children of God were ready to claim the land God had promised them. Moses had become the leader of the Exodus. The babe in the bulrushes had escaped the opulence of Pharaoh's court and the obscurity of the Midianite sheep ranch. He had personally received God's laws and for 40 years had carried out his responsibility to serve the Lord by serving God's people. But he'd sinned. He, at one point, failed to trust God completely. And as his punishment, he was forbidden to enter the land of promise. He could sit atop Mount Nebo and watch the people cross the Jordan River into that land of milk and honey. But he would die without setting foot in it. So as his final act of leadership, he called together the 12 tribes of Israel and pronounced a blessing on each of them. Deuteronomy 33:1 says, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death." And their names in that 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy read like the roll call of faith history. Reuben, Judah, Levi, Benjamin, Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, Zebulun, Issachar, Gad, Dan, Naphtali, Asher. Particularly do I want to look this morning at Moses' benediction on the tribe of Asher. It's recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 24 and 25, where Moses promised God's gifts to equip the Asherites for their journey through life. Listen to Deuteronomy 33, beginning with verse 24. "And to Asher he said, 'Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be.'" The blessing of Moses on the Asherites actually falls into two parts, represented here by the two verses. Verse 24 is a prayer for them. Moses prayed three things for them. He prayed for their posterity, that they would be blessed with children, which of course was a sign of God's favor. He prayed for their popularity, that they would be acceptable to their brethren. Some interpreters take this to mean simply that he would be popular or the favorite among the other tribes. Others think it's a reference that has something to do with not intermarrying when they occupy the land of Canaan. He prayed also for their prosperity, that they would dip their foot in oil. What on earth does that mean? Well, simply this. The Asherites were olive tree dressers, a large number of them by occupation. This was a prayer for their prosperity, that they would have not only an adequacy of olive oil for their household needs and their cooking needs and their religious ceremonial needs, but that there would be an abundance of olive oil, so much so that when they came home at the end of a long, hard day, they would be able to soothe their aching, tired feet with that cooling ointment. And then come what I believe are some of the greatest words in the Bible, words which promise God's gifts of strength and endurance. "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now, though this promise was made long ago, in a situation very foreign from ours, I want us to claim this promise for ourselves today. There are actually two promises contained in this verse, two great gifts to equip us, if we'll claim them, for our journey of life. And I want us to do that today as we think together about gifts for the journey of life. The first gift promise for life's journey is endurance. And it's represented in the words, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass." You see, if you're going to take a trip, you need to be sure you have the proper equipment. If you're going to fly, you need a good airplane. And these days, that's never too certain, even on commercial airliners. If you're going to drive, you need a dependable car, and you need to check it out. Be sure everything's okay before you start your journey. But especially if you're going to walk, you need comfortable shoes. You need the right shoes. Nothing worse than an ill-fitting pair of shoes. Moses' promise to the Asherites was that they would have the right shoes for their journey. A colleague stopped me in the hall the other day, had a copy of this order of worship, and said, "What on earth are you going to do with shoes of iron and brass in your sermon on Wednesday?" He said, "I wouldn't want iron shoes. They sound heavy and uncomfortable to me." Well, not if you understand them in context. You see, Asher located his tribe on the rocky northern seacoast. Iron and brass were simply the strongest metals they knew of in that day. Steel hadn't been invented yet. Shoes of iron and shoes of brass would never wear out. They could withstand the jagged seacoast rocks that would tear leather to pieces before a day's march was over. It was a promise, a great positive promise of God, that he doesn't turn his people out to walk over sharp rocks with thin-soled sandals. Now I know those of you who are reading this verse in the original Hebrew language this morning are saying, "Well, DeBrand missed this one. The word isn't even shoes. It's bolts or locks or doors." Could be translated bolts or locks or doors, brass, iron and brass locks. Could be translated iron and brass shoes. There's some difference of opinion over that. But it doesn't really matter. It means the same thing: endurance. It means that no matter the test, God will give us what we need. Whatever the trial, God has calculated it and gives us the equipment to handle it. I think implied here is clearly a rough road and a rocky way. We will walk in weary ways. There will be sadness, defeat, problems in our lives. And these things are sometimes impossible to understand. So what do we do when we don't understand life and we're numb from the hurt and the heartache life has thrown at us? What do we do? Quit? No. We trust God and receive his equipping gift of endurance. You see, there's no road too rough that you will have to walk that God doesn't provide a way to get through. Iron shoes. There's nowhere you have to tread that God won't help. Brass shoes. And these are his gifts to us, given not because we deserve them, but because God loves us. He prepares us for the journey, then takes it with us and equips us along the way. I got to thinking about that one day and wrote these words. Sometimes when my path is weary and the way is rough and steep, when my steps begin to falter and my eyes begin to weep, through the tears I see a vision of a risen Christ who stands just beyond the hurt and heartache. And he says, "Here, take my hand." You have to keep on walking, though your feet are bruised and sore. So take my hand. I'll help you, because I've been that way before. Shoes of iron and brass I'll give you to get across the rocky shore. Take my hand and keep on walking. I'll give you strength, and you'll endure. God promises endurance as a gift for living. Whatever strain and stress we may face, and we will face strain and stress, God will lead us through. Don't quit, people, don't quit. Don't give up. Rather, receive the gift of endurance. God will see you through. Your shoes shall be iron and brass. The second gift promised for the life, for the journey of life, is strength. Strength. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The literal translation from the Hebrew is even more beautiful. You know, sometimes we feel like we have to embellish the words as they were written in order to give them meaning. They lose meaning sometimes. The literal translation from the Hebrew says, as thy days, thy strength. That's all. Short, simple, strong, to the point. As thy days, thy strength. It's a great promise. The promise that God provides strength when we don't have it within ourselves. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. The strength of weakness is God's strength. And he gives it to us when our own strength runs out, when our own resources fail. God is all the strength we have. He is the source of our strength for daily living. He is the strength. And this means a lot of things to us. It means we'll have enough strength for each day. And as our days increase, our strength will increase with it. It means not just adequate strength, but an abundance of strength. In the same way that Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. We can say that this verse means God will give us strength in abundance. So that for each day there will be new strength, enough strength and strength to spare for each day forever. Our days are under divine inspection. Therefore, they are under divine control. We will have a strength within, a spiritual strength that grows with the growing years. We sing that great hymn, Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. And one of the phrases in it says, from strength to strength go on, wrestle and fight and pray. This is the promise of this verse, that we will move from strength to strength. There will be times of weakness. But God provides the strength when we need it most. The weakness is ours. The strength is God's. And he gives it to us. When my wife and I were seminary students in Fort Worth, we served one summer on a mission team to the Bahama Islands. We were over there for 12 weeks. I know it's dirty work, but somebody had to do it. And one of those weeks was spent in the little hilltop village of Moss Town, Great Exuma. It's about like it sounds. And there we stayed in the front half of the house of the DeVoe family, Deacon DeVoe and his family. They just vacated the front half of their house, a small living room and bedroom, for us and two other missionaries that were traveling with us. We led vacation Bible schools in the morning and revivals in the evening. And they would close the door to the front part of the house. I don't know where they slept. It was a whole bunch of kids and then the husband and the wife. We'd never see them or hear from them again until dawn each day, when we would be awakened by their family devotionals, singing and praying. And Deacon DeVoe prayed essentially the same prayer every day, and I've never forgotten it. Dear Lord, bless the missionaries who came across many acres of land and many gallons of water to bring to us the gospel. Strengthen them today as they teach in the vacation Bible school and lead into revival service tonight. Give them grace and strength and fix them up for the job. I like that. Fix them up for the job. That's what God does for you and for me every day we live. He fixes us up for the job. He gives us strength for whatever burden we'll have to bear, whatever task we have to do, whatever opportunity is ours to seize. You say you can't go on, you have no strength. God has strength to share. Trust him. He'll give it to you. Rely on him. This is his gift to you, given in love. As thy days, thy strength. These are perilous and troubled times. They're difficult days in our denomination. There's a tremendous morale problem and many difficulties in our seminary because of what's happening in the denomination. A lot of you are having personal problems, illness and difficulties, and the finances are strained. And this is just the beginning of what might happen. Nobody knows what will happen from this point on. And just when it seems like everything's about to smooth out, maybe, something else happens to trouble the waters even further. Even so, even in the darkness, even in the difficulties, God is with us. And he gives us strength to endure. Long ago, I don't even remember in what or by whom, I learned these lines from some poem. So on I go, not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk with God in the dark than walk alone in the light. So on I go, not knowing. I would not if I might. I'd rather walk with God in the dark than walk alone in the light. Walk with God. He loves you. He wants you to claim his promises today of strength, of endurance. These are his gifts to you for your journey of life. Will you stand, please, and let's sing the first verse only of God Will Take Care of You. Receive now the benediction. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And be of good courage, for he is your guide. Be strong in the Lord and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Amen. God bless you.